So hello, everyone. So my name is Sergey Blagodarov, and I'm all the way from Vancouver, from Simon Fraser University, so go Canucks today. And this is the work that I did with my fellow students from Systems Labs, and also with Sasha Fedorova, who is my supervisor there. So again, once again, the work is called A Case for New Malware Contention Management on Multicore Systems. And it's about the first contention management algorithm for non-uniform memory access architectures. So at first, let's briefly look at how NUMA architecture looks like today. So this is the picture for AMD Opteron 8356 Barcelona processor. The processors from Intel, Nehalem, namely, more or less similar to what you see on this picture these days. So I think we can just use AMD as an example. On the processor, you will see four cores. Today, it can be as high as, let's say, six cores, even more than that. Then typically, each core will have level one and level two cache in its private use. And then it will have the shared last level cache between all of the cores on the socket in this case. So the shared cache will be on level three. Then if, for example, instruction on any of the cores on the socket requires data and it cannot find its data in any of the caches, then it goes all the way down to system request interface and crossbar switch. And then it will try to find the memory either locally on the socket from the memory node that is located on the same socket, memory node zero in this case, or it can go to the network, hypertransport network that will connect different sockets on the same machine. So, and this is the machine, right? So this how typical server shipped by Hewlett-Packard or Dell looks like this day. So it will have four sockets, in this case, again, four cores per each socket, and then all of the sockets will be connected through this hypertransport network. Sometimes it's not symmetric, so as you can see, there's no direct link between NUMA domain zero and domain three, and that's the reason. The reason for that is because it's used for different purposes by AMD. So we performed several experiments and we tried to, you know, determine what are the bottlenecks on such a system, right, in terms of NUMA effects. So first of all, this is sort of like a common knowledge in systems these days. There is a shared cache contention, right? So if you schedule several threads on the same socket and then different threads that are executed on different cores will share the same last level cache, they will compete for this cache. So there is naturally this level of contention there. Then also contention for memory controller. So memory controllers are pieces of hardware that handles how, you know, the access goes and how the data will be accessed from the memory node of the machine. And naturally, if several threads, not necessarily located on the same socket, they can be spread across the system, will have the memory in the same memory node, then in this case, they will have the competition for accessing memory controller, which in this case will be a bottleneck. So they can experience performance degradation because of that. The next potential bottleneck is contention for interconnects, right? It appears when several threads try to exchange the data between the network, memory has been trying to migrate it by the scheduler or any other algorithm, and then naturally there could be a contention just to transfer the information via this network between the sockets on the NUMA machine. And then one of the most obvious sort of bottleneck factors on NUMA system is naturally remote access latency. So let's say if you have application A in this case that is executed on NUMA domain zero and it will have the memory located for some reason on memory node two, then naturally it will experience performance degradation in comparison with the case where this memory could be allocated on memory node zero, because in this now application A will access its memory remotely, whereas in the case where this memory will be, you know, placed on memory node zero, then it will be accessed locally. So naturally there will be a performance degradation because of that. So then when we identified these factors, we tried to perform experiments to determine what is the importance of each of these factors, right? Because before we will devise our algorithm, we want to know what to address first, right? We want to know what among these degradation factors are the most important so we can target them in the first case. So how we can do that? Well, definitely we can migrate the threads around on the system. We can bind the threads to any core on any node and then, you know, see what will happen there. But on NUMA system, we can also migrate the memory around, right? If we have the memory, let's say for the thread A on the memory node 0, and we have memory of the thread B also on memory node 0, which we can absolutely do, then in this case, all of these threads will compete for nothing else than for memory controller of the machine. And for thread A, all of the degradation that it will experience in comparison with its solo run, when it's running alone on the system, will be only due to memory controller contention from the thread B in this case, because they don't compete for anything else. So we estimated all of these factors in similar way. I don't have absolutely time to explain all of it, but details are in the paper. You can read it if you're interested. And this is the breakdown of the importance of each degradation factor on NUMA system. So as you can see, most of the degradation comes from two factors, interconnect contention and memory controller contention. Shared cache contention and remote access latency, though important, not as much. So because of that, when we try to devise NUMA-aware algorithm for resource management, we definitely need to address interconnect and memory controller first. Once again, memory controller and interconnect contention are key factors hurt in performance on the modern NUMA systems. So before devising algorithm, well, definitely devising algorithm consists from two stages. So first stage is sort of like a characterization method, where what you do is that, for example, given two threads, you need to decide if they will hurt each other's performance if co-scheduled or not. You need to assign certain value to each thread, and you need to say, okay, so I have thread A and B, I have these values for these threads, I need to know that this value describes in some way contention for resources, and I need to say, if these values are high, then I need to spread these threads somehow apart so that to reduce the contention, right? So first of all, we need to decide which value to assign to each thread. And then the second part after that, once we characterize threads in this way, we need to tell how to schedule them afterwards, right? On NUMA system, it's a little bit more complicated than that. You can also need to tell not only how threads will be scheduled across the system, but also how memory of the threads will be scheduled across NUMA system, because it's also important there. Well, one of the limitations on the current system is naturally limited observability. We do not know as of yet for sure if threads compete and how severely. There are no information that will give you 100% accurate data on this subject. And hardware tells us part of the story, but far from the entire information. And the problem is, when we want to do it online, in an online scheduling algorithm, so that we will take into account phase awareness and whatnot, we need to make the scheduling decision fast. So because of that, while there are certain offline profiling methods that we can possibly use, right, we cannot absolutely achieve the same level of performance if we would use them in online algorithms. So because of that, we are limited in this respect. Trial and error also infeasible because systems are getting multi-core. They are getting more and more multi-core. It is expected that in the near future, it will be not only 32 cores, even more than that, 64, and more till, infinity, I guess. And definitely, as the number of cores increase on the system, we cannot test all the possible configurations, right? In theory, we can just say we try these threads on this course, we try memory on these nodes, and then what kind of will be the best solution, we will stick to it. Obviously, that's not going to happen because the number of cores is so big, we will not be able to, devise any feasible scheduling solution online. So from our previous work, maybe some of you are aware of that, it seems like a good trade-off to measure the memory intensiveness of the application, intensiveness of how actively application or thread is using its memory hierarchy of the machine can be less level cache miss rate, right? Not only we published work on this subject, there were quite a number of publications from Intel, for example, also. But basically what you can do is that you can assume that the threads that interfere will also have the high less level cache miss rate, and usually that's the case. And then advantage of using less level cache miss rate is also that it can be profiled relatively without any overhead with hardware performance counters on modern systems. And both Intel and AMD have pretty good performance monitoring units, so you can definitely do that there. Last level cache miss rate is a metric for memory intensiveness, has its limitations definitely. Namely, it has really, well, it has some account for cache contention, but the problem is it will not tell you how application is sensitive to contention from other threads. It will tell you how intensive it is maybe, but how sensitive it is to other threads, not so much. But it still works well because as I've shown you, on NUMA systems, cache contention is not dominant, so I guess we can somehow, you know, make it maybe the second importance, but, you know, we can focus on different factors that really matter on the NUMA system. So, for example, let's say that we have four threads. Two of them are memory intensive, two of them are not. Those that are memory intensive are in red, the peaceful threads are in green. And then we have this system. In this case, it's comprised of two sockets to make, you know, the example simpler. And we have, in the initial stage of execution, contention from two memory intensive threads, A and B, right? So we need to do something to schedule them apart. So first, what we try to do to solve the scheduling problem on NUMA systems is to try to use our previous algorithm from UMA systems, where we, well, algorithm is more complicated than that, but the general idea is that we try to spread the threads as far as possible so that it will compete for as low shared resources in the memory hierarchy as possible. In NUMA system, that would mean spreading them on the different sockets. So as you can see, on the sort of right part of the figure, we did spread the memory intensive applications A and B on different sockets, and then we thought that, well, it will, you know, maybe improve performance in comparison with the default algorithm because, you know, the contention for the threads is not anymore. But naturally, it didn't happen. Naturally, on NUMA systems, again, we need to schedule the memory. If we will just schedule the threads apart, that won't fly because it's just the contention will still be there. And this is just to recap it. So basically, we had A and B, which are memory intensive. We migrated thread A. We get rid of the shared resource, shared cache contention, all right, but the problem is the memory controller contention will be still there because memory wasn't migrated, and we also will introduce the remote access latency in this case because, you know, the thread will access its memory remotely. And as a result, we had the negative performance results. So these are the results for our old algorithm that works well on UMA systems, but on NUMA, it seems not so much. And these are the results in comparison with the default Linux scheduler, and, you know, negative bars shows you negative performance. So then we thought what we can do, right? So naturally, the second step is to migrate the memory along with the application. So once we have these four threads, two of them are memory intensive, two of them are not, we schedule threads apart, threads A and B, and we try to migrate the memory along with them. I will not, during this presentation, go into details how we do the memory migration. You can, again, read in the paper. All of the details are there. What we did is that we detected hot pages using instruction-based sampling on AMD processors. It's sort of like a feature to allow you to tell the logical address of the pages that was recently accessed, and then we pulled the name parent pages along with it on the new node. We don't want, obviously, to migrate the entire memory footprint because for some applications, for example, it can be several gigabytes, it will just clog the interconnect contention as there's no tomorrow. So we need to do something else. So we migrated memory along with the application. And, well, we still had, we had better results than in comparison with our initial algorithm. So for spec CPU 2006 applications, we had the positive results. We had faster results than the default Linux scheduler, and that's because we were able to address the contention factors that were important for spec CPU. But for spec MPI 2007, for example, the results were still negative. It was less negative than before, but still it was not good enough. So then we started to investigate what was the reason for this behavior from specs MPI 2007, and it appears that the reason for that was high migration rate, right, for processes from spec MPI applications. So what really happened? So we have, again, these threads A and B. We migrated thread A along with the memory, so always good for spec CPU there. But for spec MPI, there is, you know, high migration rate, and there is a contention for interconnect. In this case, the contention will be just for Linux trying to migrate. Well, we performed all the experiments on Linux in this paper. Linux tries to migrate the memory too often because the migration rate for the thread for which the memory is supposed to be local is also too often, right? Linux has a lot of enhancements in terms of memory migration, but still, and we tried to, you know, migrate only hot pages, but it wasn't good enough. So what we did is that, so if before we sorted the threads to determine which are memory intensive, which are not, based on the absolute value of the miss rate, and then if you have, for example, these 10 threads, and the value in these colored rectangles are their absolute value of the miss rate, then if the, in the next scheduling interval the miss rate changes a little bit, then it can naturally cause a lot of migrations, right? On UMA systems, on those systems where memory is not spread all over the system, but it's nicely located in one place, that doesn't really matter because thread migrations are relatively cheap on this system. So even if you have high migration rate, even if you have small scheduling interval, it will do because it will not require memory migration along with the thread. But on UMA systems, since you need to migrate the memory along with the thread, you gotta do something different. You gotta decrease the migration rate in order to improve performance. So what we did is that we, again, the algorithm is more complicated. It's just sort of like overall idea. Again, read the paper if you're interested. The overall idea is that right with our new algorithm, which is called distributed intensity for NUMA online, we shorted it to DINA. Source thread is not based on the miss rate, its absolute value, but based on class. So we, put all of these threads into buckets. In this case, it's three classes, three buckets. And then we, in the next scheduled interval, we also put them in the buckets, right? And then in this case, we migrate only if thread changes the bucket, right? Changes the class. And why it could work. So this is sort of like this is the figure that shows you the absolute value of the miss rate and sort of the real degradation that threads experience in terms of shared contention. As you can see, while there is a correlation between absolute value of the miss rate and the relative performance degradation, it's not 100%. As I was saying, miss rate has its limitations. So because of that, when you migrate the threads based on the absolute value of miss rate, you will not necessarily have some kind of performance improvement just because the correlation is not 100%. Sometimes just the change in the value of the miss rate does not contribute to the performance improvement. But what we wanted to do by introducing these classes is, on one hand, get rid of this, you know, absolute value variation stuff, which causes the high migration rate. But on the other hand, also to preserve this correlation that does exist there between the miss rate and absolute value of the degradation. These are the results that shows you by how much the DINA reduces the migration rate. So it was able to reduce the migration rate for spec CPU, but it also was able to reduce migration rate dramatically of spec MPI because for spec MPI it appears miss rate can change from interval to interval quite significantly, but it will still relatively on the same level. So if you put them into classes, it will work because the classes will be the same. And these are the results for DINA. As you can see, finally, we were able to provide the positive results for all of this workload that we tested. The positive results for spec CPU, for spec MPI. We also tested the workload from LAMP stack. LAMP stands for Linux, Apache, MySQL, and PHP. And we tested the computational intensive requests there. And it also were able to provide generally good results. And to conclusion, to sum up, so on NUMA systems, you gotta schedule not only threads, but also their memory. That's important. You cannot just leave the memory on the old node. You gotta do something with it. Memory controller contention will kick in when memory is not migrated. And this is one of the dominant degradation factor on NUMA systems. So you will have the performance degradation in comparison with the run where the thread will run alone and its memory is local. And then but on the other hand, if you migrate too frequently, then there will be interconnect contention for hypertransport on IMD. So it will naturally introduce also performance degradation. DINA is the contention-aware scheduling algorithm first, to the best of our knowledge, for NUMA systems. And what it does is that it migrates the memory along with the application. It eliminates excessive migrations by trying to keep the workload on the old nodes if possible. and utilize instruction-based sampling to perform partial memory migration of hot pages. I'm not getting into details. Please read the paper again. Just, you know, just to add the flavor, so I just came from the Linux Symposium in Ottawa, and I presented there sort of like the complimentary paper for this one. So this paper is about the scheduling algorithm and what you need to do. This paper was, which is, was called User-Level Scheduling on NUMA Multicore Systems under Linux. It's about how to devise the user-level scheduling algorithm under Linux. Not necessarily for NUMA systems, right? But if you're interested in scheduling on user level, which is seems like a really important topic these days, you can definitely reuse this work because the source code is available at the address right there. And that's it. If you have any questions, I will be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Questions? Go ahead.
Hi, Will from Flint University. Are you assuming the thread to schedule are independent or cooperating?
Independent of what? I'm sorry.
You have a couple thread. Are these thread independent?
You mean do we schedule multi-threaded applications as well, or do you mean the threads are independent in the sense that they don't communicate between each other?
Are they communicating with each other?
Well, for example, for spec CPU, the nature of these applications, they don't communicate, right? But for spec MPI, they communicate quite a lot. So spec MPI is usually used in clusters, and while it spawns different processes, not different threads, because the job can be spawned per several nodes, so they cannot spawn multi-thread application because it will use the same memory footprint. It will spawn several processes, but there will be explicit MPI communication between them. So they communicate quite a lot.
OK, so if the threads are communicating with each other, how could you rank the thread according to the misread? Because the communication patterns is different, and then maybe the cache misread is different.
The nature of the communication, for example, with the applications that we were interested in the spec MPI workload, which is representative for the clusters, is that, well, what you do with them is that you will run one application per node. So let's say you have the 16 cores, right? And then you will start 16 processes. And then all of them from the same application, because this job can spawn like hundreds of nodes, literally. So because of that, the entire node will be dedicated to one application. And the nature of MPI process is that they more or less communicate between each other at the same rate. So because of that, you just spread them. We were interested in memory controller contention, not so much memory hierarchy contention, not so much with the overhead that is caused by communication. But I can tell you that in this setup, nothing much you can do because all of the node will be loaded by the system. But we do have sort of, we did take into account the communication implicit overhead from multi-threaded applications that do exchange data between each other via memory footprint. And in this case, we will try to schedule them on as few nodes as possible, unless it will go into contention. Because the papers that we read from the field tells you that sharing effects are less important than contention effects. So we will first try to schedule the threads, let's say, that communicate via memory footprint, like multi-thread applications, but we'll try to schedule them within the contention dominated schedule, right? But we will try to, as long as it will not break the contention factors, we'll try to schedule them on as few nodes as possible so that they will be nicely together. But again, since contention effects are generally more important than sharing, we will need to take into account contention first and then sharing afterwards. But again, the details are in the paper, just you can read it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next session.
Josh Triplett, Portland State University. I was wondering, given the relatively low cost of migrating a thread without its memory compared to migrating the memory of a thread, even just the hot memory,
right,
how does this approach compare to trying to migrate threads to where their memory is rather than trying to migrate memory to where the thread is?
Usually on the system, for example, on Linux, till the best of my knowledge, Solaris also has the same approach. So they have this local node first approach, right? So the memory by default will be allocated locally to the application, right? So you don't, by default, you don't really have to do anything. The memory will be there. The problem occurs when the threads start to compete. Well, when several memory-intensive threads end up on the same node, you got to spread them. And that's where the problem begins, where the memory was located before on the local node for both applications. But then if you want to get rid of the memory resource contention, you need to migrate the threads away. It's not so much, you know, migrating them together, but migrating them away. And then you need to spread the memory along with them. So that's kind of the problem, you know. By default, Linux will give you the local memory access. So you don't really have to do anything for that. You don't have to migrate the memory closer. You don't have to migrate application closer to the memory because memory will be by default allocated closer to the application. So.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, Carl Waltzberger. Nice work. I really enjoyed the talk. Have you thought about the implications in terms of threads that have different importance? Like, how does this interact with thread priorities or other, you know, resource management controls?
Well, we do have certain ideas about it, and we do have the algorithm actually that works that prioritizes threads based solely on the, you know, managing contention there. So let's say if you have, that's a great question. So let's say if you have several memory-intensive threads, right, on the system. And then you have, and then you can potentially schedule only one memory-intensive threads alone on the socket without any other memory-intensive threads, right? And then on the next socket, you can schedule the rest of them, right? So while the rest will have the performance degradation, this one will have the performance benefit, and the load balancing will be preserved based on this case. So we can actually prioritize threads, and we don't really have to go into like CPU utilization to load balancing and stuff like that. We can just prioritize them based on the memory contention there. But this work is not published. It's published partially, but it's not published in fully, and we will publish it in the near future. So keep updated on this.
Thanks. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Abel Gordon from IBM. So I was wondering if you have plans to look at how this applies to virtual environments, when instead of having a thread, you actually have a vCPU.
I'm sorry.
I was wondering if you have considering virtual environments.
Virtual environments,
yes.
Okay. Virtual environments, not as of yet, but the topic of my PhD thesis is to expand this work to HPC clusters, high performance computing domain. And naturally, while there's no virtualization in HPC as of yet. In the Linux Symposium, I've heard some work that like tries to do that, but there is definitely a lot of interest there to apply the virtualization. So I will try to do that, and what I will use is probably KVM for that. So with KVM, when you have, for example, hypervisor on the typical Linux operating system, the virtual machines will be like processes there. So I would not see any kind of problems with this method, actually, because it will work on the level of hypervisor, and it will try to schedule them as best as it can. I will perform this experiment. I don't have answer as of yet, but I will. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then let's thanks to you again.